And turn now in your Bibles to 2 Kings. 2 Kings and chapter 8. And this evening we're reading chapter 8, verses 16 through 29. 2 Kings 8, 16 through 29. Hear now the words of the living and true God. Now in the fifth year of Joram the son of Ahab, king of Israel, Jehoshaphat being then the king of Judah, Jehoram the son of Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, became king. He was 32 years old when he became king, and he reigned 8 years in Jerusalem. He walked in the way of the kings of Israel, just as the house of Ahab had done, for the daughter of Ahab became his wife, and he did evil in the sight of the Lord. However, the Lord was not willing to destroy Judah for the sake of David his servant, since he had promised him to give a lamp to him through his sons always. In his days, Edom revolted from under the hand of Judah and made a king over themselves. Then Joram crossed over to Zair and all his chariots with him, and he arose by night and struck the Edomites who had surrounded him and the captains of the chariots, but his army fled to their tents. So Edom revolted against Judah to this day. Then Libnah revolted at the same time. The rest of the acts of Joram and all that he did, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the Kings of Judah? And so Joram slept with his fathers and was buried with his fathers in the city of David, and Ahaziah, his son, became king in his place. In the 12th year of Joram, the son of Ahab, king of Israel, Ahaziah, the son of Jehoram, king of Judah, began to reign. Ahaziah was 22 years old when he became king, and he reigned 1 year in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Athaliah, the granddaughter of Omri, king of Israel. He walked in the way of the house of Ahab, and did evil in the sight of the Lord, like the house of Ahab had done, because he was a son-in-law of the house of Ahab. And he went with Joram, the son of Ahab, to war against Hazael, king of Aram, at Ramoth-Gilead, and the Arameans wounded Joram. So King Joram returned to be healed in Jezreel of the wounds which the Arameans had inflicted on him at Ramah when he fought against Hazael, king of Aram. And Ahaziah, the son of Jehoram, king of Judah, went down to see Joram, the son of Ahab in Jezreel, because he was sick. And that is the word of the Lord to us. Beloved, as we consider this passage, we need to know, first, it's kind of slightly off topic. It's not really off topic, but it's kind of off topic, that marriage has with it many consequences, good or bad, depending on how you start that marriage. And we see that in our passage this evening. Because now verse 16 reminds us that there is a southern kingdom that the Lord is dealing with too. We've maybe forgotten that Judah is there still in the southern kingdom, that because we've been dealing in 2 Kings thus far with the northern kingdom, with Israel. We have been considering this Baal loving Israel for all of 2 Kings up until this point. But now we go back to Judah, which we had been considering in 1 Kings. And we go back to that now, and for a while Joram was reigning in Israel, Jehoram became king after his father Jehoshaphat in Judah, in the southern kingdom. And it is Jehoram's marriage that created one big evil family. What did Jehoram do wrong? He was the son of Jehoshaphat, a godly man, one who did right in the sight of God, even though he was, you know, kind of not the wisest man. And yet, his son has done great evil. Verse 18, he walked in the way, not of his father, but in the way of the kings of Israel, the northern kingdom. Just as the house of Ahab had done, for the daughter of Ahab became his wife. And he did evil in the sight of the Lord. What's the reason that he was doing evil? Why was he not walking in the way of his father? Why was he not walking in the way of the Lord? For, because the daughter of Ahab became his wife because of marriage. Because he married an evil woman. Not a holy woman. Not a godly woman. He married an evil woman and it affected him, leading him to do more evil. And so that cancer from Israel has now spread to Judah. Through whom? Its leader, because he married a woman from Israel. Now this point is emphasized in verses 25 to 27 with Jehoram's son, Ahaziah, who takes over the kingship in Judah after Jehoram. And Ahaziah marries Omri's granddaughter, that is Ahab's daughter. Ahab and Jezebel's daughter from Israel. And same Ahab and Jezebel who have ruined Israel in their worship of Baal. And so again, Ahaziah adds to the evil, marrying another evil pagan woman. And you ask, why did he do so much evil? The text says, verse 27, because he was a son-in-law of the house of Ahab, because he married Ahab's daughter. And so for you younger people growing up, your parents over them, you are to be focusing on Christ now. If you're not married, you're supposed to be focused on Christ. But when it is time to make this decision on marriage, make a wise decision. Marry someone who is godly, someone who loves the Lord. Now those are really the only characteristics that you are to be looking for. It's not meaning, and nothing in Scripture, as we see throughout the Scriptures, nothing points to finding a person who that you meet and you spend a lot of time with and you eventually love them and then, oh, now, because I love them, now I marry them. That is not the case. You look for someone who loves the Lord. And if you love the Lord and they love the Lord, then you will love each other. Just as Christ loved the church. And He tells us to obey Him in loving your wife, respecting your husband. And those who are godly will obey Christ's commands. They'll produce fruit. Just like we learn in John's Gospel. So now there's this great infection affecting the southern kingdom, and false worship has infiltrated to the south. We would expect then judgment to come. And the Davidic covenant is shown, the mercy of God to His covenant people. Verse 19, it was because of David. That covenant that Yahweh made with David, that He was not willing to destroy Judah. This covenant is still in place to get to Jesus Christ, the King of Kings. And no evil pagan king in Judah, because he married a pagan woman, and even his son married another pagan woman. Nothing like that is going to overthrow this covenant. No breaking of the covenant by man can prevent the coming of the promises of the Lord to come about. Why? Because, verse 19, Yahweh was not willing. And yet verses 20 and 22, 20 through 23, we see some of the consequences of this evil leadership in Judah. There were struggles around them in the south with Edom and Libna. Jehoram's reign then begins to look like the northern kingdom, and thus judgments begin to come. And so you yourself, beloved, if you have pledged yourself to Christ, you have turned from Him, then don't be surprised if there are some preliminary judgments begin to come upon you like it did with Jehoram, because this will eventually lead to what? The Babylonian exile. And so now we look also at Ahaziah and at the end of the passage, the end of the chapter. And we see the last two verses, we go to Ahaziah, we find that he has sent troops to help the northern kingdom of Israel. There is a close relationship now, because his father's married a daughter of Israel, and he has married a daughter of the king of Israel. And so he sends troops to help the northern kingdom with their battle with Aram. And King Joram, king of the northern kingdom, has to leave the battle. He has to go back to Jezreel. And what we have is Ahaziah comes to visit him. And this was his brother-in-law. And so he goes to visit him, make sure he's okay. And the stage is then set in that visit for the next chapter. What happens when you become involved in evil? When you connect yourself with evil like Jehoram and Ahaziah have done? Judgment is right around the corner. And that's where chapter 8 ends. And what we'll see in chapter 9 is judgment coming for Jehoram and Ahaziah. For Ahaziah, excuse me. So, beloved, let's go to the Lord in prayer as we consider these things. Father, we thank You for Your Word. We thank you that it's very clear the consequences that can come from marriage. If we marry someone who is a pagan, someone who is not a lover of you, one who does not delight in you and has their full joy found in you, but one who hates you and hates your Son, Jesus Christ, as we'll even learn in John's Gospel this evening. What we find is people who don't worship you but worship false gods and idols. And that will lead to what? It will not, if there is a believing, for instance, a believing husband and a pagan wife, that will not lead the wife to become a Christian. More likely to happen is that the Christian man will be dragged down and be taken part in all sorts of evil. And that's what we see in this passage. And Father, we ask that you would cause our children here this evening, those who are not married even, that you would make it so that they would be wise in their dealings with a future spouse. That you would give them wisdom that is not of this world, but is of you, and that you would grant them an understanding of the consequences of what it is to marry a pagan, one who is not one of your children. And cause them to look for, especially the men, the young men, we ask that they would look for a godly woman, one who loves you more than everything else in this world. And Father, we ask that you would grant wisdom even to the young women, that they would not get caught up in emotions, but that they would be able to make decisions wisely, and that they, as even men, pursue them, that they would stop anyone who does not love you from continuing with them. That you would grant them that discernment to know good and evil. And Father, even in this, we ask that you would use parents to guide them, and that the children, young men, young women, would listen to their parents and not be led by their feelings and emotions. And Father, we thank you for your word here. We pray that none of our children here would know one day longer if they, apart from you, if they have not come to you already and for salvation. And that they would love you. And that they would not take part in evil and be of this world, but that they would be of Christ. We pray that you would hear our prayers, that you would protect the church, you would protect the future of the church, of God throughout the world, even through our children. And in a day where most children grow up in the church and they leave and they never return to you, that is, they never were of you, we pray that you would do a great work in our congregation and throughout the world and the churches throughout the world, and you would bring these children, your children, to yourself. And you would call them out of darkness and into a marvelous light. Keep your covenant promises. Be faithful. Cause us to see your promises and see your faithfulness to them. Just as you were faithful here in this passage to the covenant that you made with David, that there would be one to come who would be the King of all kings. One descending from David, the Lord Jesus Christ, through the lives of David's descendants, Joseph and even Mary. So Father, we ask that you would be with us now. Cause us to hear your word. Cause us to believe it in faith, that what you say is exactly and wholly true. Nothing here is false. Your word is inerrant, infallible. There's no errors. It cannot err, because you speak it. As we know, all scripture is breathed out by you, the Lord God. And it is good for us. Even this passage in 2 Kings. And so use it for your glory. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.